kind of redefined success in my brain as to more of a dynamic term. It's not just one achievement or one goal that you reach. Like, it's a thousand different goals, that one goal that changes a thousand different times. And by the time that you've reached what your original goal was, you realize it's not important to you anymore. Or, okay, that was kind of a weird offhanded like side quest for me to try and accomplish.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Network, our podcast around experiential learning, profession-based learning, all things CAPS and CAPS Network. And it's just a great pleasure to be with you. We've had some exciting things that have happened over the last few weeks. Our podcast producer, Elisa Morse, came to you during our last episode, basically sharing a lot of great audio, student voices, parent voices, other stakeholders, as we were in this kind of launch week mode. We were able to successfully launch a new website for CAPS Network. We had some great public information that was out, some articles kind of highlighting the model and the experience. And we had a presence with a number of CAPS Network directors and teachers out at the ASU GSV Summit in San Diego, which is just a monster event. I think they set a record, like 6,000 people attended this event. Entrepreneurs, ed tech startups, other founders, there were philanthropists, there were, certainly K-12 stakeholders, venture capitalists, just a really interesting mix of people. And what I can share with you and what others would share with you is there is a lot of energy behind what is happening with CAPS, with what students are being empowered to do, lots of districts, lots of other stakeholders interested in participating. So super exciting. But I feel like it's been a while since I've been with you, so it's exciting to be back here. And what a way to come back than to bring back a guest that we talked to, gosh, it seems like it was longer ago than it really was. About a year and a half ago, we had the chance to visit with some students from our affiliate program outside of Phoenix, Arizona, the Peoria Met program, the Peoria Met Academy. And one of those students, Sylvia Lopez, is now a freshman at Arizona State University and recently shot all across Google Alerts, the web, social media, with something very exciting and interesting that happened with her. And so we've been able to reconnect with Sylvia, and Sylvia is with us today. So Sylvia, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the network.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's good to be here.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful to reconnect with you. And we have so much to talk about. And trying to figure out how to navigate all these various things that we could visit about will be a challenge. But so when you were last with us, we had an episode. And for those that are listening that either heard it and want to revisit or didn't hear it, it was episode 22. We called it Connections. And it was you and two of your colleagues. And at the time, you were a second year engineering student in your program there that's connected to CAPS. You talked about your interest in industrial engineering, and you explained not only some of the projects that you worked on, but kind of this, which I found so fascinating, this idea when I asked the question, what's been the most impactful part of your experience? You went straight to this concept of how to fail.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that, but you talked about, you know, this, that you had always really had this hyper focus on grades. You were trying to kind of put your resume together for your next experience. And then this Met program shows up, which has the CAPS affiliation, and you start finding things that you're interested in to work on. And you said during that conversation that you figured out how to find success after a million failures. So is that still ring true to you?
Oh, 100%. And if anything, I think I've been able to build upon that, that notion, that value truly. I found so many so many failures my first semester of college. But more than that, I've kind of redefined success in my brain as to more of a dynamic term. It's not just one achievement or one goal that you reach. Like, it's a thousand different goals, that one goal that changes a thousand different times. And by the time that you've reached what your original goal was, you realize it's not important to you anymore. Or, okay, that was kind of a weird offhanded like side quest for me to try and accomplish. So I think that definitely I've been able to build upon that. And I'm so glad that I learned that when I did, because if I had been worried about my grades and only getting A's and A pluses, I would not have had so many of the wonderful experiences I've had even just so far in my time here at ASU.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I'm not surprised. After getting to know you last year and your work and having conversation, it seemed clear to me that you had really hit on all cylinders related to that idea. And yeah, how powerful to go into the experience. Have you noticed anything? Because you're now at Arizona State University. You got quite an amazing opportunity there. And you'll have to explain more for our audience this I don't know if you call it a fellowship or partnership with the university, or it's part of a scholarship, I believe, but your ability to do some things there at the university. So I'm wondering, as you've stepped into that, the types of experiences that that's providing to you, but also how has that played out as far as kind of leading you in or helping to support you as you lean into failure? Right, and not see it as a terrifying thing, but as something that actually helps you navigate situations and opportunities.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I feel very blessed to not be sure what you're talking about. I was granted the Flynn Scholarship from the Flynn Foundation, which has been a massive just relief, honestly. But more than that, it's a network of people who want to see you when you succeed and want to talk to you when you failed. They want to encourage you through. They want to make sure that you're worried about the experience that you're getting, not the grades you're getting. They want you to feel comfortable and have the space to grow. So that in and of itself has been a truly remarkable experience. And yeah, I also, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that I you're speaking right to it. That's the so it's called the Flynn Scholarship?
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Go ahead. You were going to continue with more thoughts.
Well, I also have been very, very lucky to be a part of a lab here on campus called the Luminosity Lab, which is a research innovation lab here where we basically are able to work with corporate partners and also just community partners, people who have problems that need solving. And that has also been an incredible experience and just a wonderful place to continue the work that I, you know, felt like I was doing at the MET program and through CAPS. I've been able to, once again, reach out directly to my community, even as a student, to help them solve problems. So that's also great. Has been remarkable.
That's great. So how did that come to be? Is that an opportunity that you just had to say, I'm interested in this, and so you're able to participate? Was there a process to get involved with that? It sounds very intense and kind of let you go deep, which knowing you, that's something that you're interested in, right?
Yeah, I was. I actually found out about it through one of the other, one of my fellow Flynn scholars. So they introduced me to the idea. And as I looked into it, I realized this is not only something I want to do, but the only place for me. This is the place I want to be. So I reached out, I applied, and very, very luckily I got in and I got to meet some amazing people, including my director, Mark, and one of our associate directors, Rob. They've been incredible throughout this whole process of not only navigating my projects in the lab, but also just college itself and like getting through and adjusting. So
fantastic. So I don't know how all of these things are related. I know they are. I just know that I don't know how they're related. So bear with me. And again, you're a freshman in college, and obviously you've been working very hard. You've made connections. You've gotten ingrained in places and environments that kind of feed, I feel like feed your soul, like kind of let you be the true Sylvia Lopez, right? But as as part of all that, and I'm going to quickly kind of a bit of a tangent here, but it relates. So I'm just painting a picture for the listeners. I'm at home after a day here at work at CAPS, and you know, I'm hanging out with my kids, and we've had dinner, and I'm cleaning up, and I'm kind of waiting for that time when we go up and play a game or read books with our girls, and we're getting ready to go to bed. By the way, my oldest daughter, I always tell her that I'm going to mention her name on the podcast. So Noelle, if you're listening, you've now been mentioned, because we hang out at night before we go to bed. And this particular night, my phone starts kind of blowing up and text and social media. And so I get on my phone and I see your name, Sylvia Lopez, and all of this, these articles coming from Arizona State, coming from, you know, corporate partners. I think something that came out from the director or one of your teachers at the Peoria Met program about you winning this global competition. And I'm thinking, is that the Sylvia Lopez, you know, that we've talked to and that I know? And sure enough, it seems to be. And so I was like, my wife thought something was wrong with me. I was like running around. I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? And I ended up going back and showing her some clips of things when we had talked in the past, because I was just so proud of like what you had done. And so I was kind of in a whirlwind until the next day, when I was able to reconnect with your former teacher, and we were able to have some conversation about all this. But that is kind of a precursor. I want to just turn the mic over to you. I'm going to sit here and just listen. Tell us the story of this amazing thing that's happened, how you got involved with it, what it is, and how you became a global champion of innovation.
Wow, I've never heard that said before. That's kind of crazy.
Well, there you go. Now you can put it on your business card.
Yes. So it's my freshman year here. It's about August. And I've just met my roommate, Miss Brinley Kidd, one of the most brilliant and inspiring people I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. We actually joined the lab that I mentioned earlier together. And, you know, we started becoming friends and, you know, recognizing in each other that, you know, hey, we have the same passions, we have the same ideas. So anyway, we let that sit on the back burner for a little bit. And then she heard about this competition called Red Bull Basement, which is a global student innovation competition, basically wanting to highlight their best team from every country to bring them together and compete for this global innovation award, whatever. So we decided, hey, we should probably tell the lab about that. So we brought it to the lab and we said, hey, Mark, you know, here are some people, or here are some opportunities for older people, more experienced people in the lab that we think maybe they have a shot at this. And he kind of looked at us and he goes, yeah, why don't you guys apply? You guys should do Red Bull Basement. And we were like, okay. Which was actually perfect timing, because we actually had been kicking around this idea of automated note-taking platform. So we decided to go ahead with that, which that's actually a funny story. I'm not sure if you'll want to hear that one too. But we decided to make our little 60-second video, do our little write-up. We applied. We got called back, which was crazy. And we did some interviews. And we were like, wow, that kind of, we didn't expect to make it this far. Yeah. Little did we know. So after that, it was kind of just a whirlwind. The rest is history, really. We were supposed to do a 5-week development period, but because of COVID, it got delayed. It ended up being a 5-month development period, which we were actually very grateful for. Wow. And then this past March, we flew out to Istanbul to compete on the global stage representing the US, and we won.
Unbelievable. That is amazing. So this is the Red Bull, the energy drink that everyone knows that sponsors this event. And you put this forward just as a gift to others at the university. It gets kind of pushed back to you, which is actually such an interesting, kind of fits in with the leadership philosophy that we all ascribe to, which is, you know, anybody can lead from anywhere at any time. And it doesn't matter your age, your grade, whether or not you think you know, have all the accolades lined up already. It's like, hey, you can step up and do this. And there you go. So So you, I'm trying to get this all straight. So there was a kind of this internal vetting that happened. You were basically representing the United States.
Yes. So there were 182 entries from the U.S.
Okay.
And out of those 182 entries, one got picked and it was us. So yeah, that was crazy. There were about 4,000 entries, a little over 4,000 entries globally. So yeah, just for perspective, I guess there were 44 countries who participated.
And then you traveled to Istanbul, Turkey.
Yes.
And you were part of this global competition.
Yes.
40 plus countries represented?
Mm-hmm. Actually, let me amend my earlier statement. 43 countries, 44 teams.
Okay. Okay. Wow. So how did it feel when you finally, how did that all play out when you found out that you won?
Oh my gosh. Well, do you mean the U.S.?
Paint the scene when you found out you were the global champion.
So we had just gone through like 9+ hours of, you know, listening to other people's pitches and pitching ourselves. We were anxiously waiting and we had no idea. We were like, okay, there are some amazing teams here. And honestly, every time a team came up, we were like, oh man, I kind of hope they win. Oh wait, no, I kind of hope they win. Like all these amazing, amazing ideas that would just make the world a better place. So we were, honestly, I was completely gobsmacked. I'm told that I screamed when they announced it was jotted, but I don't remember. And yeah, so we, like, honestly, I just remembered feeling an overwhelming feeling of just gratitude and validation. Like all these months had been worth it. You know, it's not easy starting a venture. It's not easy. You know, you're going to fail a lot. Yeah. And, you know, as much as I've come to accept those failures, it doesn't make them any less painful. It doesn't make them hurt less. So, of course, and I was worried that, you know, all of this was going to be for nothing. Not that if we didn't win, it would be for nothing, but that, you know, eventually maybe 2 years down the line, it would die out and we'd be really, really sad about it. You know,
sure.
We'd move on to the next thing, but I was concerned about it and I poured my heart and soul into it. Brinley poured her heart and soul into it. We spent a lot of late nights just in our dorm room trying to figure out like, okay, should we make it this way or this way? And oh, I just need another person's opinion, but it's 3 a.m. and nobody's awake. So it was just a very validating, wonderful, just gobsmacking experience. I was in awe.
Well, you deserve to scream with a win like that, you know? That's and the fact that you don't completely remember it just says it all. I mean, that's just such an amazing accomplishment and what a moment that must have been. So I had a chance to visit with you a little bit right after this happened, or at least after it was announced that it happened. And you shared that along with this win, that now you have access to a lot of additional resources. So maybe explain, what does that mean exactly? Because that was one of my first questions is, okay, there's a recognition that you're innovative. You've got this idea. You've got a brand that's helped you promote that you're doing this. But it sounds like there's a lot more that comes with this. So what do you now have at your disposal as you're building out your idea?
That's a great question. And it's one that we're still kind of navigating and figuring out the logistics of. The grand prize of Red Bull Basement is not announced or advertised because it's not about like, you know, getting so much money or getting some, you know, whatever connection. It's about what do you need to get your venture up and running? What do you need from us to help you get to the next big milestone? So we're still kind of looking at what does that look like? It's implied, you know, there's money involved. And obviously that would be very helpful for a young venture like ours, but also connection with other venture capitalists and mentors who can help us with all the things that we don't know and all the, you know, struggles that we, instead of sitting until 3 a.m. trying to figure it out, now we'll be able to actually ask somebody or hire a development team. So those are some of the things that we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. My guess is from my work in the entrepreneurial community that you're still going to have 3 a.m. conversations. It's just that you may be able to make some notes and then, you know, at 9 a.m. the next day, get someone on the phone or get an email or a text responded to by then, which is really, really going to be really helpful for you and what a cool thing to be able to really now fully dive into this and figure out, you know, if you can make this work and turn it into a product that scales, right? That would be so fascinating and interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you just mentioned the slightest bit about what this is. Do you want to say anything more about Jotted?
Yeah, so it's an automated note-taking platform that would help learners overcome the challenges of learning. So our goal is to provide people, students, with resources as they're taking notes or as they've uploaded their notes or their texts to help them study more effectively. And this includes flashcard sets, a practice test, and additional video resources just found on the internet. That way you don't have to search through your sea of tabs to find something. You don't have to, you know, spend hours dreading and then making these flashcards or this practice test. It's all there for you. And it kind of takes that fear and dread factor out of studying, so you can do it more effectively and do it for way less time.
That's awesome. And I now have a new saying I can use when I open up my browser, which is the sea of tabs, because I have multiple seas of tabs. And the problem with seas of tabs, the benefit is it's there and I know it's something I need to pay attention to at some point. The problem is it can overwhelm you. Like it, yes. it can totally freeze you as you're trying to move forward, and it creates so much space that's occupied in your mind that it doesn't leave a lot of space for, I guess, what you would call empty tabs, things that you could actually work on that aren't represented by a tab. So
yes, 100%.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start using that term, and if anybody offers to pay me anything, I'll just send the money to you. Is that okay?
Yes, that's perfect. I have Venmo, Zelle, whatever.
There you go. So before we leave the Red Bull basement win, what has the reaction been or what's your relationship been like since this happened with the university? Because I know Arizona State sent out a big article about this and highlighting that, you know, obviously they were your students of theirs, and they're very proud of this. Has anything changed in terms of your interaction with the university, with the lab that you're a part of? Anything else related to that?
Yeah, we've ensured that Jotted is a completely separate entity from ASU.
Yeah.
So not much there other than they're really excited for us. They're really proud of us, I think, and they really want to help us with whatever we need. So not much has changed. ASU has always been very supportive, very helpful, very whatever you need. So I guess that just that continued support and that continued, from our university, it's been very nice.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Arizona State is very well thought of in terms of embracing innovation. When we look at universities, colleges, the folks that kind of live in the space between K-12 education and the workforce, Arizona State is always seen as a top-tier institution that understands programs and initiatives like CAPS. So we think very highly of Arizona State and have had some really meaningful conversations with them over the years. So it's great to hear that. And it doesn't surprise me that they're excited for you. So Sylvia, as you reflect on, again, kind of thinking about being in your first year of college, are there, you talked about, you know, kind of you're still leaning into this idea of, you know, failing forward, learning from failure, not being afraid of it. I heard in your voice a little bit of, you know, I still am a high achiever and I still, it stings if something doesn't move forward. It's not that that pain goes away. And I completely relate to that as a recovering perfectionist myself. are there other things through your initial time at Arizona State that you think, you know, if you were talking to a current high school student, maybe they're just starting a CAPS experience, maybe they haven't had a CAPS experience yet, like, is there something that you've learned just within your first few months of being at Arizona State that you would want to impart back to students? Like, what's truly important What's a skill set that you have really relied on that's been helpful to you? I mean, anything along those lines. What would you say?
That's a great question. I think I would say, most of all, you have to live with you for your entire life, and nobody else is gonna get to say that. So all the decisions that you make and all the opportunities you decide to either take advantage of or pass up, that's all up to you. And it's all something that you're gonna have to live with. So knowing that you're not gonna be able to say yes to all of them or anticipate all of them, it's important that you are kind to yourself when you realize, you know what, maybe that was wrong. And it's important also to say, I'm going to take this risk and maybe it won't play out, maybe it will, but I know that I will be sad. I will be disappointed if I look back and I say, wow, I chose an A over going to Red Bull Basement. That was rough. And that was something that I had to ask myself for sure. Like, I had to, like I said, stay up till 3 a.m., give up a lot of things as far as my academic career in order to pursue this. And I mean, obviously, I still keep up with my academics and I am still planning to graduate and whatnot. But I am so glad that I took a chance on myself and that I said, you know what, I think I can do both. I think I can do it. And maybe it means 80% in both places, and 80% is okay, because at the end of the day, I'll be happy that I said yes.
Well, I love that. And Sylvia, if 80% means you're a global champion, that's pretty darn good. I mean, really, that's got to make you feel really good about your ability to make a positive impact, right? I mean, that's awesome. And I love that reflection too, because it's so easy to get caught up in, boy, I'm not bringing my full self to this, or man, I wish I could get a few extra percentage points in this class, because somehow that's measuring how, you know, what my true ability is, which we all kind of know is nonsense, right? I mean,
yes.
It's not that it's not important to try and do your best. It's not that it's not important. You know, I'm not saying grades are completely irrelevant. What I am saying is we put way too much emphasis on, you know, the exact number or the letter of the grade that we get. And that's, I mean, it's one example. We have other examples when you get into work life and how you're evaluated and all these things. But what a great and powerful reflection for you to have so early in your life and your career.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not an easy one. And it's very, at times it's still, like I said, stings. And I feel like also, you know, 80% average in each, you know, sometimes you have to give 0% to one and 100% to other for this next couple of hours or for this week, even, you know, during midterms and things like that. So it's all a balancing act. And being in high school, being in college, it's about finding that balance and finding what's important to you. It might not be grades, as speaking, and my like freshman from high school self heard me say this, she would be appalled. She'd disown me. But it might not be grades that are truly the most important thing to you for your entire life. And in fact, it's probably not going to be. So finding those opportunities now when you can still say, hey, I'm a student and I'm learning. Hey, I'm a student. That's my full-time job. My full-time job is to learn who I am and learn about the world. I think that's a huge opportunity you should take advantage of and not worry about if you learned about the world well enough.
That's awesome. I love it. As you contemplate from your seat now, I mean, you are now an alum of the CAPS experience, of the CAPS network, of the MET program there in outside of Phoenix in Peoria, Arizona. And, you know, we are more and more, as this movement grows, as more programs join us, as more students get the opportunity to have this kind of experience, there's an opportunity in that there are many folks. I'm not saying any of them are like you, Sylvia. Every student is different, right? Every experience is different. And they're all valuable, and they're all, it's like the different recipe cards, right? We've got all these different recipe cards. But What would you say, or what are your thoughts? Let's put your innovative mind to work here. When we are working with the Sylvia Lopez's of the CAPS world, as they are in college or they're going into the workforce, what is the value proposition, or what are the ways in which folks like yourself can engage with CAPS? Because I'll tell you, from the adult perspective, from the administrative perspective, we know how meaningful this time of life is, how many opportunities there are for students that are in college and just starting their career. I mean, that's a huge life inflection, or a couple of different life inflection points. So it's a busy time, but we also want to leverage the power of both student voice and alumni voice, and put that into action, because we truly believe that we want to go where we are going, where students lead. We want to continue to go where students lead, and there's power in that, because it's inverting the power structure that's typical in schools. So it's exciting to think about. It's a little bit daunting. So in your, from your role, from your seat, you're, you know, a recent alum of CAPS, like what are some thoughts or ideas on how we best engage alumni?
You know, perhaps this is small-minded, I don't know, but from my own experience and just thinking of what I would have appreciated before I was an alumni, when I was a current CAP student, I would have loved to ask an alumni a question. And I've definitely found that making myself available for the current students now at the Met Professional Academy, you know, has been hopefully beneficial to them, but also very beneficial to me. I got to reflect and look back on where I've come from and, you know, kind of get to go back to the basics, back to my roots. When things get really, really sticky and really, really overwhelming here, I can turn back and say, hey, what are you guys working on? Do you guys need any help? You know, and they're like, yeah, actually, can I practice one of my presentations for you? Like, yes, of course you can. And of course, I would love to see all your work. I want to see what kind of problem are you having with SolidWorks today? I want to know all of those things, because I've totally been there. I get it. And I want to help you. So I think just serving as a mentor, but just a peer, a friend to my current students, that's the role that I see for myself. And hopefully current students can tell me how I can be better for them too. So
I love it. That is a powerful thing. And I appreciate that you so early in your college experience are providing that. What a value to those students. It reminds me, and I'm reflecting now on our previous conversation that was recorded as part of the podcast. You had referenced a project that you had done to support a teacher who had a need for an easy way to transport materials, but also in the midst of COVID, like have them sanitized. Where did that project land? And have you kept in touch with that teacher? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so actually, fun fact, I had to leave, obviously, before it was completely finished.
Yeah.
Tried to stay in contact as much as I could, but things kind of picked up and it was difficult to handle, you know, have both in, you know, Met and here and with our corporate partner. So I actually was so excited to see that that project got handed off to, he's a second year now, but he was a first year when I was a second year. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. I saw him on his Twitter. He tweeted about how, oh, we got to, you know, go back to that facility and, you know, check on this, whatever. And he ended up bringing it into life and fully, you know, seeing it into its production and seeing it in person and tangibly. Yeah. And so that was amazing. And honestly, wouldn't have picked anybody else for the job. He was wonderful. I called him. I was like, Davian, did you really make Art Car? He was like, yeah, I did. Like, I hope that you're okay with that. I was like, of course I am. I'm so excited that you did that. So I haven't gotten to talk to the teacher yet. I don't think she has it quite yet. There's still some kinks to work out. But
yeah. Yes,
I'm very excited about that project. Very excited to see where it went.
That is awesome. That is so cool. Well, so there's one question we always ask our guests, and you've already been asked it because we asked it to you last time, because we're big dreamers over here in the world of CAPS. And so we like to ask this question of kind of what's your big idea? What's your moonshot? What are we striving for here, right? What's it that drives you as you think forward? I'm not going to ask you the same question again, but I'm going to refer back to what you said before, and I'm going to ask you to reflect on this because, you know, your answer or your thoughts may have changed. A lot's happened in your life since we talked last. My goodness, I don't know how you even keep up with everything that's happened in the last 18 months. But you, if you recall, when I asked that question, your answer was that you had, you obviously have interest in industrial engineering, but that you had a strong desire to support education and to figure out how we can get more students experiences like CAPS. And you you referenced the fact that you have this interest in industrial engineering and that you thought that that idea of like figuring out process and efficiencies could actually make this work in other environments, right? Kind of in the school systems, how you could do this. So one, is this still what you would consider your moonshot at this point in time? And two, tell us more. Like, what are your latest thoughts about this? Is this still part of your calculation of what you'd like to do, where you want to make an impact? Is there something else out there? You're welcome to share anything, but I wanted to circle back on that because I thought that was really interesting.
Certainly, yeah. So, spoiler alert, I'm an industrial engineering major now, so I did get to
We've had a fun fact. Thing. Sylvia's given us a fun fact and a spoiler alert, so we're doing well.
So I did get to pursue that, and I'm loving it wholeheartedly. I'm so just excited about all of my industrial engineering classes and getting to see the people in industrial engineering have been incredible. It's a very small major. Not a lot of people do it. Fully recommend if you want to study systems and you think you like math, you should try it. But I would say that I fully believe in that moonshot still. I'm still working towards it, obviously. I hope that it will happen. And I'm not going to stop until someone gets in my way and I truly just, you know, is immovable obstacle. But until then, I'm going to keep working towards it. I think, like I said before, the goals that you think are huge start to become a lot smaller and adapt and change over time. So I think now my moonshot, having been to Istanbul and met all of these amazing, incredible people from around the world, would be to be able to provide this education on a global level and create a global network of students like this. I don't know. I hope that it's possible. And I see lots of indications that it is. I see lots of people who striving to do the same thing that I want to do. So hopefully I can achieve that. But that's the only amendment I think that I would make. I still very much care about education and the systems behind it. I read recently a quote. I can't remember who it was. It was not me. I'd just like to be clear. but it was, you don't rise to your biggest goals, you fall to the systems you have in place or something like that. And it was on an individual level, meaning to say your habits are what make you. But I immediately resonated with that. And I said, I want a system that succeeds for every single student all across the world. And I want a system that gives them the best possible education every minute of the day. So we'll see.
Well, I'll just say this for the record. I am not betting against Sylvia Lopez. I am not going to do that because that would be foolhardy. I also am having this, and this may be, we may be years down the road here, but something I never thought I would say or envision that we may need a CAP systems engineer to like help us understand how this plays out in that kind of a world where we're scaling at that rate and there's opportunity to get this to every single student. So you've already got, well, you're the only one I know at this point that I think could pull it off. So yeah, you're on speed dial, my friend. Well, hey, this has been a great pleasure. It's always good to talk to you. I will share with our audience, you know, we do have an event coming up this summer that we are bringing back in person, the CAPS Network Summer Huddle. It's been online for the last 2 years. And working like heck to figure out if there's a way to connect Sylvia in to be a part of it. She seems very excited about it. But as you can imagine, she is one busy person. And I think that the timing of our event actually lands when she's going to be like in during some global international travel opportunities that she has. So we'll see. We might pipe her in from some exotic country somewhere else in the world. But Sylvia, thank you so much. Thank you for your support of this model. Thank you for all of the experiences that you are sharing and for always being an unbelievable representative of what we do. And this will not be the last time that we visit. Okay.
Certainly not. And thank you. I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to say that I'm an alumni. I'm very proud of that. And I'm very glad and thankful for the experiences I had at CAPS. So warms my heart to think that maybe I'm a good example.
Oh, you're a great example. Thank you, Sylvia. And for everybody that's listening, you know, this inspired me. I've taken copious notes. I'm going to be back at my whiteboard thinking about how does this all play out. Hopefully it did the same for you. It's a bucket filler to hear from our students, our former students. And, you know, I was actually just part of an event yesterday where we brought students from across the Kansas City metro area together that all were part of different CAPS programs. And they got to hack and solve issues for local entrepreneurs. And it was amazing. So the things that you do, the way that you're getting students prepared, the opportunities when you get them out into the community, they matter. They make a difference. And it's going to inspire others to do the same. So keep charging ahead. The tipping point is near. We're going to get there. Sylvia's going to help us. Take care and keep doing the work. We appreciate you.